This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now in studio, we bring to you one of the stars of the upcoming Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. And also, he was the Grand Marshal for yesterday's NASCAR race at Texas Motor Speedway. It's Shea Whigham. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. It's a pleasure to be here with you, too.
Now, I know you were at Texas Motor Speedway in like a different capacity, but last night was the last episode of The Righteous Gemstones. And I immediately was thinking about your part as racing champion Dusty Daniels. I think it was only in like two or three episodes, but it made an impact. And we had this coming up, and I was like, oh, man, it was meant to be.
Rest in peace, the heater smoke and Dusty Daniels.
That's right.
I love that. I love that going in. That was my probably third thing with Danny McBride. I mean, he's one of my closest friends, and we happened to do my second film ever with him, and now he's gone on to do these great things on HBO.
Yeah, it's incredible. That Vice Principals, obviously, Eastbound and Down, just go,
oh,
go,
yeah.
go.
Kenny Powers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think Vice Principals is one of the most underrated shows to come through. I love that show.
I could see that as well. My wife is a teacher, and her best friend is a vice principal, so she loves that show. Absolutely. I don't know if there's like the same behind-the-scenes stuff if you've seen the show, but, man, she freaking loves that show.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about your experience? I want to get back into acting in a second, but can you tell us about your experience over the weekend and then yesterday at Texas Motor Speedway?
Yeah, they asked me to be the Grand Marshal, and I didn't know what I was walking into. I didn't know what to expect, but the expectations were pretty high. And I got to tell you, I mean, it blew my expectations away. You know, they were so great. I grew up, I'm older than you guys. I grew up at the old school, like Earnhardt Sr., Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Mark Martin, and all those guys. So I knew them all. And I grew up 30 minutes from Daytona in Lake Mary, Florida.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the boys from the little, I say now, the Little League boys from Lake Mary won the Little League World Series last year. So now I say I'm from Lake Mary where the boys are from.
Good claim.
Yeah. And it was amazing. You know, and I was, be honest with you, I was really, I told you before we started, I was nervous saying that just the one line, driver, start your engine. Because you go over and you hit over and over again. And how am I going to do it? And then when they point to you to do it, everything goes out the window because you look up finally at 250,000 people, and I fumbled over it like almost, you know, so it was amazing.
You're a professional actor too, and we're professional talkers. I still fumble over stuff all the time. It still happens, but yeah.
It the very nerves. Well could happen in this interview.
Yeah, so it probably will.
We'll
actually
try to act surprised when it does happen. Now, go ahead.
I was kind of curious because he was talking about a lot of the comedy stuff that you've done. My dad growing up, I watched Perry Mason with him all the time. And then so there you are in something that serious. That was an extremely serious show that you were part of. But I was like, man, I wish I had him as my right-hand man. That dude, I trust him with my life there. Man. It's really interesting watching you. You have a look that you can pull off detective, cop. You have this type of look, but you add these elements into the character every time I've seen you.
I think what you're saying is with a mug like this, I can play anybody.
Yeah, you can play anybody. But that's
he really
the other
pigeonholed
part of it,
you as character actor right there, didn't he?
No, I appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate it. I mean, whether it's American Primeval that just came out or Perry Mason or Boardwalk Empire, for me to see, I have a litmus test. I like to see my closest friends, one who's here with me right now, do they just for even maybe a minute forget that I'm, because they know you intimately, or my family, my wife, you know, and if they forget for just a minute that, oh, that's Eli Thompson or that's, you know, Jasper Briggs from Mission Impossible, you know, like that's the goal.
I know, obviously, totally separate from your characters, but please tell me, at your house, you have a collection of amazingly historical hats from all the different roles that you've had. Because
you wear some cool hats.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire and everything. Please tell me you have a plethora of all these cool hats.
No, I do. I've got the fedora from that. I've got the newsboy from Perry Mason. I do. I got the Dusty. You know, I got the Dusty Daniel. I got them all. Yeah.
That's
an important part.
Yeah,
of
no, I'm serious. That makes me unreasonably happy. Now, you just mentioned the new movie, Mission Impossible, Final Reckoning. What do we need to know going into this other than Tom Cruise does all his own stunts? I've heard that numerous times.
Yeah, look, that takes care of itself. You're going to see the most brilliant stunts, and he does everything. And I like you, when I got there, I thought, maybe there's a smoke and mirrors in here and somebody, a stuntman jumps in somewhere. It doesn't. He does everything. But what people don't know is that how much he loves cinema and how much he loves acting. Like, so when we have a scene in this, I'll just say without giving too much away, on a G5, he and I, and we go toe to toe, and he got so excited, just as excited about that as he does hanging off a biplane, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's really quite amazing. So is McQuarrie. That's why they get better and better. These things get better and better, you know?
Yeah, they just keep going bigger, you know, with some of the action on it and the cast over this time has grown into something special too, man. That's a great cast they got.
Oh man, we have a deep bench, you know, like we go 5, 6, 8 deep. You know, you look around, there's Nick Offerman. We're introducing Nick Offerman. You know, we're bringing a lot of heavies in it, and it's because they like film and they like great stories. So you're not just waiting for the next stunt that Tom's going to do. You like the characters, you know what I mean? You get to know the characters.
Well, and you just mentioned somebody that I don't know if everybody is as familiar with this person, but the movie's directed by Christopher McQuarrie. He's also the writer. He wrote The Usual Suspects,
yes,
which is one of my all-time favorite movies. And that's one of the things that gets me excited. Like, I know that's not like Christopher McQuarrie presents and everyone's like, ah, the hell with Tom Cruise. But like, that's one of the things that has me amped up for movies like this.
Oh man. Well, you said it. I'm glad you brought that up. Here he is. He comes out to Hollywood. Here's a little story. He comes out to Hollywood and he's writing. Nothing's getting done. Nothing's getting made. And he writes this little thing, Usual Suspects. And they make it, and he goes on to get nominated and wins the first time out. So he says, I'm sitting there with four heavies waiting for my name not to be called, and I get called, and he goes up there. And then from there, he makes one more film called Way of the Gun.
Which is a good movie.
Very good film. But Hollywood, you know, it didn't make, quote-unquote, the money that it should have. And so he goes into kind of, you know, director's jail for a little while. He doesn't do anything.
Go back just real quick, people, if you haven't heard of the movie or seen it, watch the first like 5 to 7 minutes of Way of the Gun. You'll know if that movie is for you or not.
Oh, man. Benicio del Toro, who's a friend, is in it. But he goes and he starts and he really continues to study film, McQuarrie does. And he gets in the room with Tom Cruise and he goes, they were having trouble with the fourth mission. They didn't know how, they were really running up against something. And he goes, I know how to fix it. I'm telling you, I know how to fix it. And Tom brings him over to the Middle East. It's the one where Tom is climbing up the building.
Yes.
The red,
those
green
gloves.
And McHugh came up with the gloves and how they work. And the rest of the film fell into place. And ever since then, he and Tom are thick as thieves.
That's awesome.
Now, your daughter Georgia's in acting as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, he said that.
I was really hoping
I'm waiting to see where you go.
Well, I was kind of curious. Y'all were in Waco together.
She did do Waco.
And right. I was kind of curious on the front of that, like working, seeing her right. go into that. And
yeah, I'll put a plug out. First of all, she does it on her. She's a better actor than I am already. She does a show called Ted.
Yes.
About the bear that is so funny.
Shockingly good.
I'm telling you, yeah. My daughter Georgia is with Seth MacFarlane does it, who is the genius of all geniuses, well, as on the comedy end. So yeah, she does Ted.
And I'm not saying this because you're here. What I really love the first Ted movie, the second one, but when the TV show came out, I was like,
expectations are always a little different.
They
or
were low.
Like that.
It was so much better than I thought it had any right to be.
I agree. Yeah, she loves doing Ted.
Yeah, that was my kind of the thought is like, dude, navigating that world, because my kids are like, I want to be in radio, Dad. I'm like, no, you don't. So I'm always kind of giving them other advice on things like that. So I just always want to be in acting or?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm up against, right, with that. I tried to steer it away from, You know, it's so hard to make it in acting. It's impossible. It's probably like radio, you know. And but if they want to do it, they'll find a way to do it. So
it's a job lotto. You know, it is one of those things. You hit the lottery. You feel lucky that you're able to do it. You know, you work hard to get there.
That's right.
But you're definitely like, man, there's a limited amount of these things that exist. So
yeah, you do. It's and it never gets easier for in my bit. You know, because I'm doing something right now, but I'm unemployed a lot of the time, you know,
yeah.
What that does to you.
Yeah.
You know,
and that was, that's interesting. Cause, when you see a script, how quickly do you know I'm this character or I want to be in on this character?
Yeah,
I want to be in this thing.
That's a good question, man. That's a really good, I have to, at this stage, I've been lucky enough. I have to really respond to it, you know, and it could be for a number of reasons. It could be because, you know, you want to, it could be Scorsese's directing it. So you go and you jump off from Boardwalk or The Wolf of Wall Street. So it could be director. A lot of times it's the actor that I haven't worked with and I got a list like everyone else, you know. So I did the new Brad Pitt, the F1 and, you know, but circling back to like Cruise and Macquarie, I just didn't want to work with them. So to get that, here's a little story. I go to one party a year, really, in Hollywood, and it's the Golden Globes party,
okay.
And it's where everybody shows up. I mean, it is that you've got the old-timers, you look in there, and you got Nicholson, and you got DeVito and Douglas, and then you look, and then you got Cruise and Pitt. And so I went to this, and I just done Homecoming with Julia Roberts, this great little piece.
Yes, it is.
And, I just come and I see Macquarie across the room at this party, and we're both pretty shy, you know, guys. And we kind of circle around each other and we hit, and I said, listen, I'm not going to be too cool for school here. I like what you guys do a lot. I loved, Usual Suspects. I love Way the Gun, but I love what you do. And he goes, I saw Homecoming. Tom has seen Homecoming and we're going to write something for you.
That's awesome.
And I went, that's awesome. Just like that. That's awesome. And I said, that is, but then that was in January of that year. I remember it like it was yesterday. And the whole calendar year goes by. And I'm sitting at home on December 15th, I remember. And I get a text that comes through and it says, is this still you? And I don't recognize the number. And I go, it is. And he goes, this is McHugh. I'm calling from a Europe number in 5 minutes. Pick up. I got somebody who wants to speak to you. And I said, oh. It's going to be really, really good or really, really bad. So I'm there and I'm holding the thing and I go in my upper register like, hello?
Uh-huh.
And I go, he goes, hey, it's McHugh. I said, hey, it's good to speak to you. And he goes, look, there's somebody here who wants to speak to you and talk to you. I go, oh, okay. I'm not even thinking. And he goes, hey, buddy, it's Tom Cruise. How you doing? And I go, I'm doing great, Tom. You know, I'm out of body. And he goes, listen, I've seen some of your stuff that you've been doing. How would you like to come not do one movie, one mission movie, but two mission movies? And we're going to go everywhere. Make sure you got your passport ready because we're going to Norway and then we're going to Venice and Rome, Italy. And then we're going to circle back to London and then we're going to be in South Africa. And I go, you had me.
Yes.
You had me at Norway, man.
Or at I'm Tom Cruise.
I'm Tom Cruise. Yeah,
that's what I think. So talk with Shea Whigham right here on 105.3 The Fan. You're probably not supposed to say, but I'm going to give it a shot nonetheless. I've used my amazing powers of deduction. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning comes out May 23rd. Is this going to be the last Mission Impossible movie?
Knowing Tom, I mean, he's capable of anything. So I don't know. I know that this is the best. It's the best one that we've done.
Wow.
Everything that you'll see when you see it, everything that he has done has led up to this mission. You know what I mean? Like he's pushed beyond anything he has been before. So the stunts that he's doing, and when we were in South Africa with the plane and then the underwater stuff, you're not going to believe it. And we really hope people see it. And I hope they have an IMAX here that you can go see it, because when you see that as big as it is and you see what he's doing, you're going to be blown away.
I believe if you live in the Metroplex, there's one in Dallas off of Webb Chapel.
All right.
There's a big IMAX right there. Just a suggestion for people.
Yeah.
When you say Tom has that, like, that ability to do things, the Tropic Thunder character and the way that all came about. And like, that's the thing I think of is he was just like, hey, I kind of want to do this and I'm going to dance. Watch this.
Yeah.
It turns out awesome.
Yeah. Whatever he touches, you know, he all of a sudden you'll, I remember I had a Thanksgiving ready to go. I've done two Thanksgivings. I've missed two Thanksgivings because of mission.
Wow.
You know, so you're there and you're out in some location. And my wife has got everything together. We've flown the family in. It's 2 days or 48 hours away. And I get a call and I'm like, he goes, hey, Shay, it's Tom. This is McHugh. We're in Africa. We're in South Africa. We've got this location, but there's weather moving in. We got good news and bad news. I said, well, what is it? He goes, well, the good news is that you're gonna jump on a plane right now and come over. The bad news is you're gonna miss Thanksgiving with the family. But I got more good news. And okay. I go, what's that? He goes, when we're done wrapping that day on Thanksgiving, I've flown in a bunch of turkeys and we're gonna have a spread like you've never believed. And I'm gonna fly you on my helicopter from that location. Me, you and McHugh and Henry Cheerney. And we had a spread, man. It's one that I remember, you know, like I had to tell my wife. She's like, well, how was it? I go, I mean, it wasn't as good as what we would have.
Yeah, it's nothing like we got here at home. You know, it was fine.
Good answer.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. This morning, we mentioned your name, and one of our morning show hosts who's obsessed with Fast and the Furious is like, yep, I know him from the Fast and the Furious movies. But, like, those are super popular. What I was curious about is there a piece of work that you've done that people consistently ask you about that you're like, I had no idea so many people had seen this or that it was this popular?
That's one, you know, because I came in for a quick pop on that and I get my nose famously busted up by Paul, you know, and then it becomes Justin Lin had it become a thing. So yeah, I mean, you know, when I do Silver Linings Playbook, but I gained probably 35 pounds for that just for character stuff. And so, you know, that was a sports movie, which a lot of people, you know. And we caught Bradley, you know, and Jennifer Lawrence and De Niro. We caught them all at the apex, and they all got nominated. So that's a pretty good one.
Well, the movie Mission Impossible Final Reckoning comes out May 23rd, 2025. It was really awesome having you in studio, man.
Oh, man. Thanks. It was my pleasure, man.
Yeah, you're just as cool as we thought.
Thanks, man.
We're going to replay that question where he goes, now your daughter.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Hey, we're going to replay that question.
Go Noles. My father used to play at Florida State. So go.
Okay.
They're only the number 9 most toxic fan base in college sports, what I recently found out. That's I got that coming up at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, no. Oh, no, man.